What you really want, my little pain jockey? I've only teased a touch up to this point. Time to see if you can admit to those dark desires of yours. Valeria blinked at that, her gaze panicked, then curious, then completely neutral in a schooled response.
Is that a no?
Alex asked, scratching at her hairline delicately with a fingernail. I'll do it. I accept the terms you've given and swear to the oath between us.
Grand. You have 2 weeks to get your kit shifted out. Then we'll be off. For now, how about I put you back in your bed, three, and you get some rest?
Valeria closed her eyes and nodded her head once. Yes, master. Please.
Chapter 17.
Maxwell led a middle-aged man into Alex's study. He was broad-shouldered and rather tall to boot, every bit the military man, from his haircut down to his polished but worn boots. His clothes were cut in a uniform-like fashion, though didn't sport any colors.
"My lord, this is David Harrell, commander of the mercenary company Bulwark,"
Maxwell said. David bowed from the waist. Alex stood up and nodded his head to David.
"A pleasure, Master Harrell. I appreciate your coming. I take it you found the contract to your liking as it was presented?"
Alex asked, skipping straight to business.
"Yes, my lord, I did. The prospect of settling down in Brit with what you suggested is very tempting,"
David said, standing up from his bow.
"I see this as being an operation where it's very likely you'll take significant losses. I won't hide that fact from you, but I will make sure you're paid well for it,"
Alex said simply.
"Now, Maxwell selected you personally, and I trust him. So tell me about your company."
"I command 400 men-at-arms, 200 archers, and 100 heavy infantry. We're broken down into military groupings, and we have an 80% veteran status. By and large, we're outfitted to a slightly better degree than conventional military," David said. "I personally specialize in battle tactics and line fighting."
"You say nothing of strategy. Is that a lack on your part, or a cultural per..."
"Strategic priorities and battle plans are typically formed by the commanders of armies or levies. One must be of the nobility to lead an army."
"Ah, in other words, me."
"Splendid. That means this is before commoners could become command officers.
We can do this. We used to be pretty good at strategy games. Then again, that was 40 or 50 years ago." "I understand. Go ahead and deploy to the field and get some rest. We'll be heading out in 2 days. Duke Tenulf has made it his intention that all his levy commanders are to meet with him on the border. Then we'll march across into Duke Galus's territory."
"I wondered. Duke Tenulf has been moving his people around quite a bit. Was going to be Galus or Malin," David said.
Alex shrugged his shoulders at that. He didn't really know, nor did he care. This whole thing was more than likely going to spend a number of lives for the sake of what probably amounted to an anthill. A petty insult, perhaps. Someone taking offense to a passing comment.
"Anything else?" Alex asked the two men.
Max and David looked at each other, then to Alex.
"No, sire," Max said.
"Great. Get going, then. I need to finish up here. There's too much to do and not enough time to do it in," Alex said, shaking his head at the pile of papers on his desk. No sooner had Maxwell and David left than Walter came scurrying in.
"My lord," said Walter, "I really must say again that I don't agree with this. My place is at your side."
"It is, though in this case you're best served remaining here and making sure Anna and Holly keep everything in hand," Alex said, sitting down in his chair at his desk. "You'll need to send whoever would take over for you if you were to suddenly pass on from this world. Time for them to get some behind-the-wheel experience, as it were."
"Sir, I really do obj-"
"I know, and I appreciate it, but it's going to be this way. Now, make arrangements for your second-in-command, They'll be traveling with me when I leave.
Is there anything else we should discuss or work through? Alex asked, changing the subject.
Who is in charge, my lord? Anna or Holly? Asked Walter.
Neither. Run anything at a financial level by Anna. I get the impression she absorbed more from her father than he would have liked. Anything peerage goes to Holly. You take care of the rest.
I understand. May I ask what else you're planning for the day, my lord?
Ah. How is my new maidservant coming along? Alex asked, working his way through several documents.
My understanding is she's doing very well. She's performing her job duties at a level that would not require any oversight, though her name is unconventional.
Yes, it is, but neither is it unique, Alex said. And how are 2 and 3? I haven't seen them today.
2, sir, is in the city. I believe she's been working to recruit more bodyguards for your service.
Huh. I didn't tell her not to, but I didn't tell her to hire someone else. Suppose that falls right in that middle area.
That just means we can take a greater toll from her when she finds someone she wants me to hire.
So be it.
Good. And 3? That is, I saw her only once. She was in the kitchens. I have not seen her since then, Walter said.
That's fine.
Sire, they are all... That is to say, one was...
Yes, she was. They all were. And they'll serve me as loyally as any other retainer would. So you'll give them the respect their position deserves. No more, no less, Alex said.
Setting the quill to one side, he looked up and caught Walter's gaze and held it.
Anything else?
No, my lord. Nothing else, Walter said.
Excusing himself, he left the room quickly and closed the door behind himself.
Alex shook his head, looking back to his papers. He still needed to talk to Sylvia and figure out what he was going to do with her while he was away. Again.
He doesn't like us, Valeria said from the far side of the room.
Tilting his head back, he looked around to find her.
It wasn't until she lifted a hand that he spotted her.
She was slouched low next to his cabinet, dressed all in darker clothes, made of strips and bits of cloth. She had no shape, and seemed to blend into the shadow. Even her face and hair were bound up.
Of course he doesn't. You all showed up out of nowhere, and he has no idea what your relation is to me. On top of which, you're women. For all he knows, you're all foreign agents who got close to me to make attempts on my life, Alex said, then grinned at her.
Perish the thought or to think of it, right?
Valeria stood up and walked over to him, pulling the fabric down from her face and head.
I'm trying to hone my field skills before we leave. I know you said you wanted me to teach you, but I think it might be best if I actively work defensively as well, Valeria said, explaining herself.
Okay. No need to creep around in the shadows. Just play the part of my doxy and stay at my side. Most nobles travel with a few, after all, Alex said, shrugging his shoulders.
I could do that. Certainly wouldn't be hard to pretend, since I'll be in your presence every night. Any of us, really.
What? You, 1 and 2?
Yeah. Alex stood up and then patted his desk.
I haven't checked lately, by the way. What's your count right now for getting your ass spanked?
She gave him a slow smile, setting her hands on her hips.
I'm not sure anymore.
I stopped counting after 100. I figured I might as well run up my tab before we went into the field. I might not be able to get any more soon.
Quirking a brow at that, Alex couldn't help but grin at her.
At least she's being honest with herself.
Well, we'll see if we can't take care of that while we're out on campaign. And did you want to bring your trunk, by the way?
Yes, please, master, Valeria said, nodding her head quickly at that.
Her eyes dropped to the floor as her cheeks turned bright red. And a couple shackles, too.
She mumbled something he couldn't quite make out.
"What was that?" he asked, unsure what she'd asked for.
"And a leather riding crop."
"Sylvia," Alex said, sitting down in a chair next to the noblewoman.
"Alex," she said, smiling at him.
"If you're going to offer to send me back to the city while you're gone, I think I'll decline," Sylvia said, settling down the book she'd been reading when he'd entered.
"Oh, that's surprising. I thought you were tired of playing prisoner for me."
"Hardly. Everyone already viewed me as a scandalous and amoral woman due to the charges laid on me. Since our deals and being able to see people, they simply view me as the Count's noblewoman concubine, the one he can't marry but doesn't want to get rid of. It's not that glamorous, but it's better than the stigma I felt in Brit during your last absence. If anything, I get quite a bit more deference now."
Alex thought about what she'd said. Logically, it made sense. If she suddenly spoke him up to everyone she knew, lived in his keep, and seemed perfectly content, it would lead to the concubine theory.
"I see. All right. Then I'll not make that offer. Did you want to talk about your walks, then? I imagine you might end up getting tired of being in the keep all the time."
"That'd be wonderful. I am growing weary of only seeing the sun through my window. I'd also like to be able to have my nails, hair, and clothes attended to. I'm afraid I'm growing... well, I'm not looking my best right now. It limits who I'm able to see."
Alex took a moment to really look at her, now that she'd mentioned it. Her nails were long, chipped, and a bit ragged. Her hair was a bit tangled, but not terribly so. Her clothes were also looking extremely worn, since she was only allowed the one set.
"All right, I'll give you free rein to be anywhere in the city of Brit," Alex said, picking the book up and looking at the cover. He'd given her several to help pass the time since her room was devoid of entertainment.
"In exchange, I want you celibate. You cannot engage in any sexual conduct at any level. And let's make this clear, that goes for other women as well. It includes kissing others, even holding their hands. I want you as pure as the driven snow from here on out, unless I give you permission of some sort."
Setting the book back down, he smiled at her.
Sylvia stared at him. Then she suddenly made a small noise and bobbed her head.
"That makes sense. If I'm going to be your concubine, I'd have to be dedicated to you, and you alone, anyways. You have my oath, then, and I swear it. I'll be untouched by all from here on."
"As to your clothes, nails, and hair, most of that you can solve on your walks. Let's cut to the heart of the matter on this one. Being able to own anything that isn't already in this room," Alex said. "This is a prison cell, to be sure, and you're not going to be leaving anytime soon. Truth of the matter is, you'll likely die of old age before you're released from my possession."
Alex said it as gently as he could. He wasn't sure if Sylvia had taken her thoughts that far down the line. Admittedly, he'd expected her to, but that didn't make it so.
"I'm aware, my lord," Sylvia said, her smile turning sour. I'll allow you to have 7 sets of clothes and make use of the keep laundry. Nothing else will be allowed to be brought into your room. My price is rather simple. I get to pick out all your clothes, and even your hairstyle. I think I'd like you to fit my tastes, since you're my concubine."
Sylvia's brows drew together, her ragged fingernails tapping against the table.
"Would the outfits be in fashion? The hairstyle as well?"
"Certainly. You can even present all the items you'd like me to view for you, and we can pick them out together. I may not select the ones you like, but I'll hear your opinion."
"Then I agree, and do so swear."
Sylvia sighed, crossing her arms in front of her chest.
"I'm well aware of what you're doing, you know."
"Are you?"
"Yes. You're slowly turning me into what you want. I realized it only after I came back, though. Your bodyguard made the situation abundantly clear to me by her name and demeanor. I imagine what she went through was similar to what I'm going through now."
"Quite right.
I am indeed molding you. So, what are you going to do about it now that you know?
Barter myself slowly, Sylvia said with a rueful smile, and hope I somehow manage to outwit you and escape, or that you die in battle before I'm little more than an actual bedwarmer.
Good luck with that, Alex said with a grin, and then stood up.
If I may ask, what number did you plan on assigning me, if the time comes, that is? Sylvia queried.
Numbers are assigned merely as the next in order. If you were to be numbered today, it'd be 4.
Sitting alone in his bedroom, Alex couldn't sleep. Anna and Holly had kept him company every night this week except tonight. Apparently they'd both had their period start up, and now were playing nurse to each other in their shared bedroom. Staring out his small window, he could see the guards go through a rotation down below. Must be close to midnight. The door behind him creaked open. It was silent enough that he almost didn't hear it. Looking over his shoulder, he could see Carla slipping through the doorway. She swayed for a second where she stood, then moved deeper into the room itself.
She's drunk. Ha!
Bumping up against what he thought was a dresser, Carla stumbled to the side and fell heavily to her knees. Holding back a snicker, he walked over to her, then reached under her armpits and lifted her up.
Master, she mumbled.
Yeah, it's me.
Sorry. Didn't mean to wake you.
You didn't. I was already awake.
I'm not that drunk. Just tipsy. Didn't see the damn dresser.
Uh-huh.
Carla took a step forward, her hands resting on his shoulders.
Master, I wanted to talk to you about hiring another bodyguard. It's good that you're awake, Carla said, staring at him.
That's fine, but I think it'd be better to talk about this in the morning, don't you?
No, because I needed to drink to do this for the first time. This worked out well. You're hiring another bodyguard, and I already found the right woman for the job, Carla said. Going to pay you for it now. We'll do this once a week. I swear on my oath.
Dropping down to her knees, Carla hooked her fingers into his nightwear and yanked it down. Before he could react or tell her no, or even agree, Carla had inhaled him with a single slurping noise. She had him entirely in her mouth, her chin to his nuts, and her nose to his stomach. Reaching over, Alex grabbed onto the dresser to get some balance with his left hand, his right hand falling atop Carla's head. Pulling back, she let him slide out between her lips, and then pushed forward again, straight to the hilt of his rapidly hardening member.
I get final say on who we hire. But I agree, Alex said, his hand sliding down behind her head as she started to pick up speed.
Carla mumbled something around his shaft, but didn't stop. Her hands came up behind him and grabbed his ass, pulling at him even as she thrust her head forward. Now, hard as a rock, Alex was thoroughly enjoying himself. Carla was obviously more drunk than she let on. Except Alex didn't give a damn anymore. Drunk or not, it felt great. Carla was pushing him down her throat each time and had fallen into a nice, swift rhythm. She was working him pretty well for someone who seemed like she'd be caught dead before giving head. As she mashed her nose to his stomach, he felt her tongue slide out and furiously lick at the top of his sack, his tip buried in her throat.
Damn, too. Alex said, unable to not watch her as she did it. That's great.
Carla mumbled something again, then fell back into her rhythm. Her left hand floated around to his front and grabbed his jewels tightly. Squeezing and kneading them with her fingertips, she started to suck harder on him. Her lips tightened as she pulled back from him every time.
Fuck. I'm going to pop here, too. You ready for it? Alex asked.
He wasn't sure what'd happen if he just unloaded into her mouth, as drunk as she was. Grunting, Carla released him entirely, his length sliding out of her mouth.
Too drunk. I think I'd puke. Fill me up tonight. I'll swallow it next time, Carla said.
With both hands, she pushed her pants down to her ankles and fell backward onto the ground, her knees spreading wide for him.
Put it inside me tonight. Next time, I'll take it in the mouth. Promise, she said, patting her thighs.
Not needing a second invite, Alex just about fell down atop her and slid right into her very wet channel. Pumping furiously into her, he wanted to find his climax hard and fast. Carla's whole body shifted under him with the intensity of desire and need. She accepted him completely, her hands trailing up and down his sides, her ankles floating partially in the air as she kept her knees up. A minute in and he'd hit his peak, his hands digging into her sides. Carla moaned and rolled her hips underneath him as he thrust deep into her, filling her with his seed. Moving her head from side to side, Carla's hands pressed into his lower back. Her body shuddered each time he sank his length into her. Unable to control himself and being driven on by her obvious enjoyment, Alex pummeled himself into her, trying to put everything as deep as he could. Then, with a shivering breath, everything was over, and Alex was empty. Carla's hand shot up and grabbed him by the back of the head, and then she kissed him furiously. As quick as she had kissed him, she released him. Her arms flopped to her sides, her body slumping to the ground, and she started snoring deeply.
Two?
Alex asked. Damn. She was way drunker than I thought. Pulling himself out of her, he tried to figure out what would be the best course of action. Can't leave her on the ground. Might as well get her in the bed, then. Getting his arms under her, he somehow managed to lever her up off the ground and into his bed. Taking a moment to undress her of everything but her undershirt, he arranged her limp form as best as he could and covered her up. Then he crawled into bed with her and immediately fell into a deep sleep.
Chapter 18.
Husband, said a soft voice in Alex's ear. It's time to wake. Today is the day you head out to war.
Opening his eyes, he found Anna hovering directly over him. She was kneeling next to the bed, bringing her much closer to him in height. Her right hand rested on his jaw, while her left toyed with his hair. Standing a step behind her with her hands clasped in front of her, Holly looked as lifeless and doll-like as ever. She seemed to be made of stone.
"Good morning, dear," Anna said, then kissed him lightly. "Daddy always said one should wake a few hours before traveling. There's always last-minute things that will be forgotten otherwise."
It's just a smidgen past dawn right now.
Good morning, Lord Husband, Holly said, bowing her head to him.
Holly had settled into her role rather quickly. She was quick to do anything he asked of her and seemed very predisposed to making sure she took care of anything he needed before he asked. Not that he could blame her. The payment he'd sent off to the Lynns had squashed their debt down to a manageable level. Something they could afford without strain, while even putting a little bit away in savings. Holly had started crying when she saw the armed couriers Alex had hired set off for the Lynn estates. Yet he felt nothing for Holly, and there was no doubt she felt nothing for him. Anna had been more correct than she'd realized. Holly was little more than a conquest, less so than even his numbered projects. Holly had given him everything in the barter, and had nothing else to offer him. She was conquered, well and truly. Grumbling, Alex didn't want to get out of bed. It was warm in his bed, comfortable. He wanted to sleep a little longer, despite Anna being right. Perhaps it was because she was right that he felt that way.
"I'm glad you took two to bed. I worried about it being empty, Anna said, then stood up. No lord should ever have an empty bed. I'll work on that.
He'd forgotten about Carla.
Turning his head around to face the other way, he found Carla sleeping only inches from him. Her left hand lay just above his privates on his lower abdomen, her right hand under his neck. Sleeping away, as if there were nothing wrong in the world at all.
Yeah, she's going to wake with a terrible hangover, I'm afraid. Let's take this elsewhere. Give her a chance to wake up without being watched, Alex said.
Carefully, he set Carla's hands aside and clambered out of bed, only to have Anna press herself to him and hug him tightly.
You must come back, husband. Even if not in one piece, you must come back. I don't want to be a widow already, if ever, Anna said, pressing her face to his chest.
I'll keep that in mind, Alex said, running his fingertips through Anna's hair.
Lifting her head up, Anna kissed him, then pressed her mouth to his ear.
Walter said he has a number of cases for you to judge. I asked him to pull any case possible as well, so it'll be much more than normal. I'm going to hold the justice in your name. I'll try to get only pretty women with long sentences put into the dungeon, Anna whispered. Douglas is already aware.
Grinning, Alex hugged Anna tightly. I'm betting she can't make deals on my behalf, but she can at least prep them for me. Helpful little thing. She really is acting as supportive as she can. Holding on to his wife, he kissed her ear. You're a wonder, wife. Fill the dungeon to the brim for me. See what Douglas thinks of expanding it another level down as well. You're amazing. Anna nodded her head once, staring up at him with her simple and dangerous smile. Carla, Riley, and Valeria rode in the carriage with him, Carla on his right, Riley and Valeria across from him. Maxwell, David, and Walter's man were all in another carriage in front of theirs. All around them were Maxwell's people. Marching in front and behind them was Bulwark. Alex had cajoled everyone into leaving earlier than everyone else thought they would. His reasoning was simple. He didn't want to run the soldiers ragged before they'd even seen combat. There was no point in exhausting his people before then. It'd cause only problems and fatalities. They may be only mercenaries, but they were his mercenaries, more so since they'd put away their company banners and uniforms and were now all in the colors and flags of Brit.
We'll be settled today, won't we, Master? Riley asked, her voice bright and chipper.
Ever since she'd been allowed to leave the dungeon cell, she'd been a model personal maid. Her optimism and positive nature had shone through, though she'd gotten extremely clingy.
I'd suppose so, Alex said.
The trip had been rather boring for the most part. He regretted that he wasn't able to read as they rode. It had always made him fairly sick to try to read while traveling in a car, and that was a much smoother ride.
Good. I'm tired of bouncing around in this box, Carla muttered.
It isn't so bad, Valeria countered, her sharp smile aimed at the ex-bandit. I could think of many worse things, like being a murdering bandit queen with friends who rape and murder anyone they come across on the road. An animosity existed between those two that Alex didn't quite understand. He was already planning on interceding when it became too much, but so far they'd kept it civil around him.
Or like being a sneaky cunt who likes to be mistreated and gets off on the idea of being used, Carla said without any heat.
Riley pouted at each woman.
Stop it, both of you, she said. We're here to serve Master, not bicker.
Valeria shrugged her shoulders. I'll not hide the fact that Master rewarded me for catching that sneak thief, she said. There's no reason to be upset that all you're good at is sleeping with him. It had been a minor thing, but something he'd wanted to use as an example for the three of them. Rewards would be dispensed for exemplary services. Catching a thief who had been stealing supplies was the example he'd needed. Valeria had caught him in the dead of night and turned him over to Maxwell immediately. How she'd caught him, she didn't say, Apparently, she'd been practicing her fieldcraft again when it had gone down. And as far as he knew, she hadn't spoiled her cover, either. Everyone viewed Valeria as his personal camp woman he had taken to war with him. As a reward for maintaining cover and catching the thief, she'd asked to be shackled, gagged, and put into his bed. She hadn't wanted to have sex, just to be left in his bed like that. Miscalculated a bit with her. If I had known she would fully embrace her masochism, I wouldn't have encouraged it to begin with. Now I have to go backwards with my deals if I want anything out of her. Or I use her to capture people I could use instead. Huh. Grinning at the idea, he turned to Valeria. Actually, that reminds me. I need a private chat with you later, Three, Alex said. Valeria nodded her head slowly, uncertain. I think we're here, Carla said, deliberately changing the subject.
Why is that, Two?
Riley asked, trying to peek out the window. Because I can see the Duke's guard heading this way, along with the Duke, Carla said. Everyone is making way for them.
Grand. All right. One, Three, stay with the coach. If we don't come back soon, set up camp for us. Two, you're with me. Go ahead and open the door and let's go meet our liege, Alex said.
Thank the gods, Carla said, opening the door without another word. Stepping out of the coach, she quickly fell out of sight. Alex smiled at Riley and Valeria, then stepped out as well. Carla was already pushing her way through the ranks, Alex falling in right behind her. His guards fell into place around him, even a standard-bearer sporting the House of Brit coat of arms. Coming out the far side of the marching ranks, Alex found the Duke waiting for him.
"Good tidings, Count Brit. You're several days earlier than expected," said the Duke.
He was dressed warmly, despite the weather being fair.
"Getting on in years and can't keep your body heat anymore?"
"Good tidings, Duke Tanulf. I must apologize. I found myself eager and couldn't remain in Brit any longer."
"Fine, fine. Did you bring your wives with you, or are you traveling by yourself?" asked the older man.
"Odd question. I wonder if I should worry about him trying to have my wives killed."
"I am indeed traveling without my wives. They're both minding the county while I'm out and about," Alex said with an easy smile.
"Ah, I'm sure that's uncomfortable. I know I simply never got a good meal until I hired a personal chef."
"I'm afraid I haven't thought ahead that far. I'm personal chefless. Though I look forward to learning from this. It's my first time on campaign, Duke."
"Then I invite you to dinner, Count. You can meet my daughter. She's traveling with me for some experience in campaigns."
"That's odd. Bringing your daughter along to a war?"
"Duke Tanulf's son was slain last year during a border skirmish with Duke Galus. The line of succession now falls to his oldest daughter and last living child."
"Ah, that makes more sense. And also why I was being targeted to marry. A matrilineal marriage to me would have given our children two titles to work with. That, or I'd be dead as soon as the first child was born."
"I accept the invitation and will be there," Alex said, bowing his head. "Perfect. We'll sup at the sixth bell. I can't imagine any more of my vassals arriving today, so it'll just be you, my daughter, and I. No need to bring any guards. I'll have my own people on hand," the Duke said.
Turning his horse, Lord Tanulf left, dismissing Alex without a word.
"I don't like him," Carla said under her breath. "And yet, I cannot decline without putting us at risk. It'll be fine. It's just dinner. Worst case scenario, they ask some uncomfortable questions," Alex said.
Then he smiled and turned to Carla.
"And isn't today the first of the new week?"
Carla shook her head with a growl.
"Fine. That's the deal I made. I'll be waiting for you," she said.
Come to bed early, at least.
I'll try. As soon as the dinner ends, I'll join you.
Alex paused, unsure if he wanted to ask her the question that was at the forefront of his mind.
You won't be drunk this time, will you?
No, on duty tonight. Can't.
Good.
At least he could look forward to having a sober Carla go down on him this evening. The bodyguard she'd tried to hire hadn't shown up yet, and she was supposed to meet them here in the field no later than tomorrow. Carla's deal, however, remained in place. She'd forced it on him, without any input from him, and he wasn't about to let her out of it. Getting head was worth her bad attitude. Dressed in finery, Alex showed up right as the sixth bell chimed. He'd made sure to time it precisely. If he was neither early nor late, there was nothing that could be said. Keeping everything as tight as he could and as close to the vest as he was able, Alex would be able to keep the Duke out of his life.
"Count Britt, the Duke is expecting you," said the guard outside the pavilion. "Please proceed inside. Dinner will be served promptly."
"I would hope so."
Alex entered and found himself in front of a house servant.
"After me, sir," said the man in Tanulf livery.
Feeling a bit ridiculous following a house servant deeper into what essentially was a giant tent, Alex said nothing. Two turns later, he was standing in front of a small dining table with six seats. Two were already accounted for by the Duke and his daughter, with a third set and empty. The Duke looked up and gave Alex a once-over, then nodded his head.
"Precisely on time. Thank you for joining us," the Duke said.
He was dressed much more simply than Alex, but he was also the host. That sort of thing was forgiven more often than not.
"This is my daughter, Regina," the Duke said, indicating the young woman.
She wasn't as pretty as Anna or Riley, or as pleasing to the eye with her figure, but she hadn't missed the genetic lottery either. Prettier than Carla and Holly, and probably even Valeria. Her hair was brown, a medium length, and her eyes brown as well. With a fair complexion, she would certainly fetch suitors. Alex just happened to already have a couple women who were far and above the norm around him. It made most other women pale in comparison. Thinking back to the Duke, Alex couldn't deny that once upon a time, Tenulf had probably been a handsome man.
"Lady Regina, a pleasure," Alex said, ducking his head to the woman.
"Count Britt," she said with a smile.
Taking his seat, Alex looked to the Duke for direction.
"We were just talking about the reason we're here," said the Duke. "I haven't shared it around much, but I might as well start with you. You're the least likely to know the details, so you might need more information."
"That would be greatly appreciated. Indeed, I'm afraid I don't know the specifics."
"We do have a valid casus belli for this. My goal is to imprison the Duke of Galus. I'll not take his life, but I will keep him in a dank cell until he dies."
"Casus what?"
"Casus belli, a justification for war that meets the requirements of the peerage and honor. Valid casus belli for declarations of war must be approved by one's liege lord. Forbidding a vassal to go to war who has a valid casus belli creates a casus belli for the vassal to go to war with their liege lord, and invalidates their oath for a period of 1 year.
"Well, that's dangerous. In a world where an oath is loyalty, invalidating that oath creates some scary concerns. In fact, I could think of a number of ways I could use it to my advantage."
"Could have spared my son. He chose not to. I have proof of it, and gave it to our king, who honorably approved my wish. I'll have Galus rot in life, and then in death. Without him, his vassals will run rampant through his entire duchy," Tanulf said with some heat. "Truth be told, I feel the cold hand of death on me at all times these days," the Duke said, his volume dropping off rapidly. "Soon, Regina will succeed me as the Duchess.
This will probably be my last action as the Duke.
Alex smiled politely and nodded his head.
I can certainly understand. I would ask what you would have me do to support you, my Duke.
Tenulf gave him a wretched smile, his head bobbing slightly.
You'll be holding the left flank, Count Britt.
From his memories came the concept that in historical battles, the right flank was where one put their elite troops, to try and turn the enemy's flank as quickly as possible. In return, one put their worst troops on the left flank, and hoped they could hold long enough to turn the flank of the enemy first. In other words, the Duke planned on sacrificing Britt to the last man if it came down to it, or see him be routed and run, at which point he'd work to revoke his title or some other suitable punishment.
I understand. Any particular orders, or just hold the flank, sir? Alex asked, unperturbed.
Having hired Bulwark, he'd already set up an existing strategy for himself to utilize. He'd rely on his people heavily, professionals who lived the life of war and had a high number of veterans. Alex was going to be able to handle this. Maybe if he got lucky, his opponent would underestimate him, maybe even give Alex a chance to earn some glory.
Just hold the flank long enough for us to turn theirs. That's all,
Tenulf said evenly.
Though if it comes down to it, I'd say dishonor before death is the better option. I'm sure we'd be able to work something out that would restore your honor.
That leaves me open to interpret my orders fairly cleanly, so long as I hold the flank. In fact, I could justify that as being nothing more than an end result, couldn't I?
I understand. I'll be sure to hold the flank, Alex said.
Count Britt, I'm curious about a few things, Regina said, getting his attention.
About what, dear lady?
Your county has recently undergone some very interesting changes. I've even had the good fortune to know what your taxes are, as Father shared them with me after we received your vassalage from the king. The county of Britt is rather well off, she said.
We're definitely doing very well. I make sure our taxes are well documented, so that there's no cause for concern. Though, forgive me, Lady Tenulf, I did not hear a question in there.
Too true. My apologies for not being direct enough. My question is, how did you do it? I didn't see any massive sweeping changes put forth to the king. He would have told us.
Alex smiled. Unable to help himself. His answer to those who didn't know was rather simple, and as misleading as he could make it.
I stopped wasting all of Britt's income on myself, and grew up, Alex said. After that, it wasn't hard to achieve.
The Duke said nothing, watching him, and Regina gave him a large, and Alex thought very predatory, smile.
Chapter 19
Alex had barely gotten 10 steps beyond the pavilion before his people fell in around him. Carla on his right, Max on his left, David 1 step beyond that.
We're to hold the left flank, Alex said immediately.
Everyone around him seemed to take that without a concern. Internally, Alex imagined they were annoyed and worried, though. They'd undoubtedly be going up against the best the enemy had.
Max, David, spread some money around and see if we can't dig up where the Duke wants to hold this battle,
Alex said once they were out of earshot of anyone else.
Two, if you catch someone sneaking around my tent, bash their head in first and ask questions after. David, Max, it's up to you to let your people know not to come around in a sneaky way. They need to be obvious and direct if they don't want their skulls smashed in.
I'm going to tell your partner the same thing, Alex said, deliberately not naming three.
In fact, triple the guard on our supplies. Give the men an extra ration of ale later on to keep them happy.
You suspect trouble? Max asked.
Not really, but I wouldn't discount it. I'd rather pay the men extra beer than lament my losses, Alex said with a shrug. Once we figure out where the battle will start, I want to know the entire layout of the battlefield. Terrain, elevation, every detail, and anything that stands out. I'm sure Duke Galus is well aware of the fact that we're here, and probably even knows where we'll fight. So, whoever you send,
Be sure they're on guard.
Elevation? Max asked dubiously.
Yeah, elevation. Hills, depressions, sunken roads, anything that would change the height of the battlefield, Alex said.
Memories of long-forgotten games flitted through his mind.
My dad always beat me so bad. Let's hope I remember enough to not make a complete ass out of myself. Wish I had paid more attention to those war documentaries he watched, too.
Gonna reward me if I kill one? Carla asked.
Definitely. You brain one, and I'll pay you a week's salary as a bonus. Catch one alive, and I'll give you a month's.
Carla grunted at that, her bloodlust palpable.
Leave it to the bandit to get worked up about killing someone for pay.
Anything else you all need? Alex asked.
No, sire.
No, sir.
No, master.
Great. I'm going to turn in for the night. You all get to your jobs and be ready to roll out as soon as we get an idea of where this battle is taking place. I have a plan.
Max and David fell away from him as soon as they made it into their camp. Carla stayed at his side. Smiling to himself, he remembered what he was in for tonight.
Stop smirking, Carla grumbled. I can't help it. Tonight just got so much better.
Fucking bitch isn't even here yet, and I'm taking one for her, Carla muttered.
In the mouth, no less, Alex added in helpfully.
You really are too much of a smartass, master.
Don't forget you said you'd swallow.
I haven't forgotten. I'll also try not to forget to be careful with my teeth, master.
Max delicately smoothed the map out with his hands. It had a weathered look, as if someone had stuffed it into a saddlebag. Small markers had been pinned throughout the whole thing. There were a number of different levels of penmanship as well, as if it had passed hands. One spot even looked as if it had been done at full gallop.
Did they have problems? Alex asked.
Some. You weren't wrong about Duke Galus being aware. The countryside is swarming with scouts. We didn't lose anyone, but it was a close thing.
Made confirming the location easy, though, David said, pointing to the left side of the map. It's a fairly flat plain here. As far as we're aware, Duke Tanoff plans on taking this position.
Max indicated the spot on the map for David, since he was a little out of reach from his side of the table.
On our side is some rocky terrain and a small gully, an old road a bit closer to where the battle will probably be, but that's it. As far as we can figure, Tanoff plans to hold the center, right there in the middle of that flat-as-a-board plain. For all the vainglorious reasoning I'm sure he has, David said with a sneer in his voice.
Not our problem. What's out on the left flank? Anything we can use to our advantage?
Max scratched at his chin, as if considering the question. David huffed and then indicated a section of the map that had a series of numbers and what looked like a hole from a pin stabbed into it.
This seems like it's a rocky hill. Not too high, but certainly not at the same level as everywhere around. The problem is it curves backward instead of falling out in a straight line, David said.
So it kinda hooks like this? Alex asked, picking up the quill and carefully drawing in what it looked like the scouts had been trying to.
Max watched silently, and David nodded his head.
That's about right, sire.
All right. So let's get some men up there and start working the position, preferably under cover of night and without making it obvious.
Sir, you want us to dig in?
Max asked.
Yep.
Dig in. Move those rocks if you can to provide a wall. Or put them lower on the hill as a way to break up their formations, just enough to give us a foot or two over our opponents.
Sir, if we keep the line, we'll end up moving down the hill, Max interjected.
Why the fuck would we hold the line? Put us in a hook, curling with the hill, Alex said, indicating the very same hook he'd just drawn.
It's not as if they won't try to flank us and roll us up anyways, right?
David frowned at that, crossing his arms in front of himself in a defensive way.
You're not wrong, but it isn't very...
Very what?
Fair?
Sportsmanlike?
Pah! This is war.
I plan to kill as many of them as I can and get as few of us killed as possible. Make sure we get a platform put up, at the very least, for the archers to fire downhill from, Alex said, tapping the center of the area.
What do you want us to do if someone tells us to move? Max asked.
Ignore them, or kill the messenger. I don't care. Don't move, though, Alex said with a shrug of his shoulders. Both men stared at him as if he'd grown a second head.
This'll be the spot where we hold our ground and have them break upon us. They'll be expecting to roll right through us. We know their tactics in that case. Let's use it to our advantage.
Carla grunted at that.
Good. That makes it easy. What else? You said you had a plan. This is good, but not like you to stop there, she said.
Am I that obvious? Alex asked, grinning at her.
She didn't respond. Instead, she just stared at him.
Still hasn't forgiven me for making sure she swallowed by opening her mouth to show me.
I want to purchase 20 horses. I assume we have at least 40 men who can ride? Alex asked, looking to David.
Easily.
Good. I want 40 men to be trained up as mounted infantry. They're going to have a different job during this first battle. The enemy isn't going to expect anything from us, other than to die miserably. Even with our emplacements, they'll think they can waltz right over us. I want those mounted infantry to move out the day before and to go very far afield. Far enough that no screening force or picket would find them, Alex said, gesturing to the far left side of the map.
And?
David asked, unable to wait for Alex to continue, it seemed.
When the battle is fully joined, I want those 40 to ransack the enemy headquarters and camp. I want them to take all the coin they can, to burn everything they can't take, and to capture any nobility or generals they find. I'll pay 20 gold a head for a nobleman or noblewoman, and 30 for a general. Any coinage they find and bring back, they can keep 20% of it shared amongst themselves. Any uniforms they can steal would be great as well, Alex said, making a vague gesture at where the enemy would probably set up camp.
You want to attack their general directly? Max asked.
Uh-huh. And whatever backers they have over there. And when you get them back here, make sure it's in secret if possible. Prisoners aren't shared with a liege lord, as there is always the case for a ransom. But I'd rather not tip our hand if we don't have to.
This is very unconventional, David said softly.
I'm no patriot. I'm not even a general. I'm no son of a duke. I'm a damned count, dragged into a war I had nothing to do with. If it means we'll catch them off guard, then I'll do it. And if you bring me a number of prisoners and money, all the better.
Oh, and I really do mean torch everything you can't take. If you can find their food stores, set them aflame. Standing fortifications are a monument to the stupidity of mankind. Any defense can be overrun given time and manpower. We'll use that to our advantage. They'll pile everything up in one spot.
Anything else, my lord?
Max asked, sounding very unsure of himself.
If the enemy soldiers surrender, take them into custody unharmed. Make a show of it. If they don't fear surrendering, more of them will be willing to do so. But other than that, no. I'll have more once we get into position, I suppose. Dismissed, unless you have any other questions.
Max and David looked to each other and then left, leaving the map on Alex's table. Sighing after the men had left, Alex crossed his arms in front of himself and leaned up against the table. Looking to Carla, he shrugged.
Whatever. So, your bodyguard hire finally arriving today? He asked.
Yes, she's waiting outside. She brought someone else as well. If I'm lucky, you'll hire both, Carla said.
All right. Before I invite them in, anything I should know? Or any concerns with the plan?
Huh? Why are you asking me?
Because you have a brain inside that muscled head of yours, don't you?
Ass. No, nothing about your stupid plan. As to the women, I don't know. I think one is hireable, the one I met. Don't know the other one.
Okay, and what's your expectation of them for me? Am I supposed to lock them into a privacy oath like you? Would they even accept one? If they wouldn't, this'll be a short interview.
Carla chuckled darkly at that.
Oh, the one will want to swear. I bet the other one will, too, if they're from the same background.
That means they're already in trouble, and I'm the only way out.
Murderers, bandits, or thugs? Alex asked. All of that?
Fine, go get them.
Carla gave him a weird look, then left the tent.
Alex made himself comfortable and sat next to his desk, making sure to put some furniture between himself and the newcomers.
Three?
Alex asked to no one. Here, Master, came the disembodied response.
Good, Alex said, feeling better. Just in case, don't wait for permission on my part to do whatever you feel is best.
Yes, Master.
Falling silent, Alex idly toyed with the edge of the map as he waited. Carla stepped in through the tent flap and moved over to stand beside Alex without a word. Her mace had been unslung, and she held it loosely in her hand. So even she isn't completely comfortable. She seems to be favoring her mace rather than her blade lately. Two women walked in. One was a wiry thing that looked like she'd been built out of muscle and nerves. She wasn't flat in the chest department, but she'd definitely be in the handful is enough category. Her head was shaved into a short black mohawk. She wore light leather armor with two short swords belted at her hips, a buckler slung over the pommel of one. Sharp blue eyes cut through him as she marched up, a cruel smirk pulling at the side of her mouth. Alex put her somewhere between Carla and Valeria on the attractiveness scale, then looked to the second woman. She was already slumping forward, the shadow that was Valeria pressed up to her side and dragging her down to the floor. The woman with the mohawk looked to the woman who had come in with her and the shadow, then shrugged and turned her face back to Carla. "Guess she didn't make the cut," said the woman in a drawl. "Not my problem. I got paid as a reference."
Valeria grunted and slammed a very thin blade home from above into the woman's temple. And most certainly into her brain.
Gasping and panting, Valeria crawled off the twitching corpse and shook herself out.
"Already had a blade in hand," Valeria said. Kicking at the woman's hand, the weapon in question clattered to the ground.
Reaching down, Valeria tried to pull her blade out of the woman's skull.
"She was going to dive at you, I bet."
Valeria yanked on the hilt and couldn't get it free. Sighing, she put her boot to the brain-dead body's jaw and pulled on the handle for all she was worth. With a splut, the blade came free. A spattering of blood came pumping out of the head wound, and Valeria crashed to the floor. She bounced twice and skidded an entire foot across the ground.
"Could you throw a towel or something over her head? She's going to pump out till she cools," Carla said.
Mohawk looked at the body, then ripped the tunic off the woman's torso with a monstrous jerk of her muscled shoulders. In doing so, she managed to expose the dead woman's chest to everyone looking. With a negligent flick of her hand, Mohawk dumped the tunic over the bare-chested woman's head.
"Better?" she asked.
"It'll do. Whole place is going to reek of blood now," Alex complained.
Mohawk shrugged. "You the guy paying?" she asked.
"That I am."
"Your name?"
Alex asked, looking to her again.
"Nanny," she said.
"Nanny?" Alex asked, making sure he heard her.
"Yup. Why?"
"Nothing, just making sure."
"Did Two tell you about my need for secrecy?" Alex asked.
"Kinda. She said she couldn't talk about it, and if I wanted to sign on, I wouldn't be able to talk about it either. Which made sense if you look at it from a certain way," she said.
"Great. I'll make it simple. Swear on Leah's name to protect my secrecy, to not betray me in any way, and that you'll act in good faith for me. For both your soul and life.
After that, we can begin," Alex said, spreading his hands in front of himself.
"Okay, I swear all that junk on my soul and life. We gonna talk about pay now?"
Nanny asked. Valeria got to her feet and slunk away towards the back of the room.
"Good work, Three.
Figure out how I can repay you later," Alex said as she passed.
She nodded her head, but didn't respond. I get a number? Nanny asked, not giving him a chance to respond to her first question.
Do you want a number? Alex asked.
Dunno. Probably not.
Alex